Well, thank you, James and Carter, for leading us in worship and to the Lord. This morning, our thoughts are going to be centered around choose today whom you will serve. I've got to find out how to turn this. There we go. You know, our God is an awesome God, and He's created us with the ability to choose. And we choose every day, we make choices. You choose what you want to wear. You choose what you want to pack for lunch or what you take for lunch. You choose what you want to do for a career. You choose what brand you want to represent, what kind of car you want to drive, what color car. The choices are endless. You get to pick your spouse. You get to pick the person you live your life with. And sometimes you get so tired of choices, you say, well, just pick something. Just pick something for me. Except when it comes for a spouse, that doesn't work too well. But you go to a restaurant, and there's so many choices, the menu's so big. And the other day I said, well, just pick something. Just point and pick and go with it. Sometimes we get so tired of choices. But what about in response to our life? And how we respond to people, how we respond to what happens to us, how we respond to God. We have choices to make. In the garden, man faced a choice between a tree of good and evil, between two trees, between light and darkness, between Jesus and the devil. Between a truth and a lie. And from Genesis, the beginning of Genesis is about the choice. And Revelations is the consequence of that choice or the reward of that choice. And in between is a story of God calling his people to choose for him. To choose between self and God. Open your Bibles or follow along. Open to John 3:16, verses 16 to 21. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is a condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and the men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. Everyone practicing evil hates the light, and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they may be done, that they may have been done in God. So the basic choice we have is light or darkness. Light comes from God, darkness comes from Satan. In reality, every choice that we make comes from who we love. Do we love God or do we love self? When you came to the point of giving your life to the Lord, when you made that decision, you made a decision to love God more than you loved yourself. And you wanted to please him, and you wanted to live your life for him more than you wanted to live for yourself. But when that light goes dim, the light goes out, and we find ourselves going off course, isn't it because we're choosing to please self rather than to love the Lord? And if you've never loved God more than yourself, you'll never choose against yourself. God calls us to deny ourselves and to take up the cross and follow him. We cannot love ourselves and God. So we choose to love self or love God, to love light or love darkness, the truth or a lie. And every time we go off course or grow cold, it's because we've chosen to love ourselves more than we love God. And when I choose to love myself, I will abandon everything for myself. I will abandon others to please myself. Think about situations in your life, and I can think of them in mine, where I chose against God and chose to please myself. And I've even told a lie to save myself, to protect myself. Choices we make. I want to look at Scripture and look at the theme of loving God versus loving self. It's a choice we make. It's a conscious choice that we make. Starting out in Revelations with the church of Sardis, God hated their passivity. They were passive about, they were a dead church. They were passive about their walk with God, their love for God. And he wanted them to choose between yourself, pleasing yourself, or pleasing God. Make a choice. The next one is Laodicea. They were a lukewarm church. God said, I want to vomit. It makes me sick that you're lukewarm. You're neither hot nor cold. And he said, choose between either God or yourself. It's a choice you need to make. Last Sunday, Galen talked about Abraham and Isaac in that story. And I was thinking about Abraham's desire to follow God. He abandoned all his selfish ways, and he chose to follow God. You know, there's no way, if Abraham would have loved himself and didn't want to please God, that he would have left his tent that morning and embarked on this journey with Isaac. There was no way. Abraham had a love for God that exceeded his love for himself, and he intentionally chose to follow God and follow what God had told him to do. Choosing is eliminating all other possibilities and focusing on that one. Think about those of you who are married. When you started dating your wife or your girlfriend, you eliminated every other possibility and you focused on that one that you had chosen. And you poured everything into that relationship. Choosing, it's a conscious choice. The next one we'll look at is Joseph. The real test of morality it happened in the life of Joseph. And guys, you may say that no one understands what we go through as men in this battle with morality and temptation. Well, here's a man who faced more than most of us probably have faced. He's a guy who understands. He's a man who was taken from home to a far country where no one knew him. He was put in charge of everything. And he had this woman who was tempting day after day after day. Now you think if Joseph wanted to please himself, do you think he would have been able to stay strong? He had every opportunity to please himself. But he said, in his account, he said, how can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? How can I please myself? How can I choose to please myself and not please God, not choose to honor God and follow God? Above all else, I choose to follow God. You know, I think for a man, that the temptation he had was about as hard as it gets for a man. To be tempted by a woman day after day after day. But he chose. He made a conscious choice. He eliminated every option to please self, to please his selfish desires, to follow God and choose God's way. So think about it, guys, and everyone. In the midst of temptation, what's the battle about? The battle's about pleasing yourself or pleasing God. So how's it going with the battle of pornography, which is so prevalent in our day? How's it going with the battle of pleasing yourself or pleasing God? You know, we choose him. Along with it comes the power. I love the verse in Ephesians. It says, now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly. When we choose God, along with it comes his power to sustain us in the choice we made in choosing for him. He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. But when we choose ourselves, we can make a pretty big mess of things. And some of our stories have history of making a pretty big mess of things when we choose to please ourselves. Deuteronomy 30. Moses is talking to the children of Israel. And he's telling them of the path that they're on, the path that God has led them, and telling the blessings if they repent and will come back, that God will restore, that God will put your shattered lives back together. He will take the callousness off of your heart if you only come back to him and choose him above all the other gods that they were trying to serve. It's not rocket science. It says choose and follow and obey God. I placed in front of you life and good, death and evil. Verse 16 of chapter 30 says, I command you today, love God, your God. Walk in his ways, keep his commandments, regulations, and rules so that you may live. Really live. Live exuberantly, blessed by God, your God, in the land that you're about to possess. But I warn you, if you have a change of heart, refuse to listen obediently, and willing to go off and serve and worship other gods, you will most certainly die. You won't last long in the land that you are crossing in the Jordan to enter and possess. You know, think about the life of Israel and even today. Why is it that whenever we choose against God, and Israel chose against God to worship other gods, they get in trouble, and then they cry out to God and say, God, where are you? Isn't that ironic? How many times, even today, with what's going on in our world today, they say, where's God? Like, why is he allowing all this to happen? And the question is, what have you done with God? I was just thinking how the children of Israel's decisions affected the next generations and their children, and how the decisions we make as parents affect our children, and how that our parents and their decisions affected us. And you know, the blessings follow. When they followed the Lord blessed them and prospered them. And you know, if you have been given Christian parents, you are so blessed. You are so blessed by God to have Christian parents. And if you haven't had Christian parents, you get to begin today to start that lineage of the blessing that comes from knowing the Lord and following in his path. The decision that parents make affect children for generations to come. You think about the choices that your parents have made to follow the Lord and how that has affected you. What if they made a choice not to follow the Lord? Where would you be today? Where would you be today? And the choices that I make as a parent affect my children. And the choices I make of how to relate to them and how to love their mother greatly affects my children's lives. The choices we make, are we pleasing ourselves or are we pleasing God? Next one's Joshua 24. Talks about the children of Israel having to choose. Like, he was so tired of them serving other gods. He said, you can't serve God and these false gods of the countries around us. And he told them the story, the history of the children of Israel, how God had been with them, provided for them, and God blessed them in so many ways, and here they are out serving other gods. And he's calling them to choose. Make a choice today. In verse 14 it says, "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods of your fathers that they served in the river in Egypt and serve the Lord. And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your fathers served in the regions beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Joshua made a declaration that is well known to us today. As for me and my house, some of it's in our homes and plaques. Like, we will serve the Lord. Joshua made a declaration. He made a choice. He eliminated every other option. He says, "No matter what, for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I choose to obey the Lord. I choose to follow him. I choose to serve God rather than self." Dads, have you made a declaration? Does your family know that no matter what, we will serve the Lord? That your house is dedicated to the Lord? And does the devil know that there's no way that you're getting into my house except through me? Like, I am the shepherd of my door, of my household. I will protect my household as much as I can. I will set the environment in my household. What about the media in our household? What are we doing as dads to provide a safe environment for our children? Joshua chose and he acted on that choice. He chose to serve the Lord. Joshua won every battle that he faced except Ai, and that was rectified. And the people prospered as long as Joshua lived. And the prophets who followed after, the people prospered. One person's choice to love God more than self affected a whole multitude of people. Choose life versus death, light versus darkness. The next one is Elijah and the prophets of Baal in 1 Kings 18. I believe God was so sick of the people serving other gods. And I don't know why, but I think that's why he said, "No rain for 3 years. I'm going to send a drought." There was so much wickedness. This time, King Ahab was king, and he was worse than all the other kings, all the other kings put together. And for 3 years, it did not rain. Finally, God told Elijah that it's time for it to rain. He said, "I want you to gather all the people and ask them who they're going to serve, who they're going to choose to serve." He's tired of them waffling between God and the gods of the people around them, of Baal. So he gathered the people together, and here's what he said. "How long are you going to sit on the fence? If God is real, follow him. If Baal, follow him. Make up your minds." And all the people said, "Yes, we will serve the Lord," right? It says nobody said a word. They could not choose who they wanted to serve. Can you imagine? When faced with a decision of who to serve, God or Baal, it says they said not a word. You know, I believe Satan is the king of confusion, and he wants to confuse us. He wants to confuse our minds on issues today, on what we believe about marriage, about gender, about truth, about morality. The devil is king of confusions. But I believe God is very clear. So if you're confused about what you believe, if you feel confusion in your mind, check out, who do you love? Do you love yourself or do you love God? Who are you following? Satan is about confusion. God is about clarity. Jesus said, "Come to me, all you that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Choose this day whom you will serve." Proverbs 1:28-29 says, "Then they will call upon me, and I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but will not find me. Why? Because they hated knowledge, and they chose not to fear the Lord. So we have a choice. God gave us a choice to follow him or not to follow him, to love him or not to love him. I think of David. David was a man who wrestled with God hard. Like, he spoke what he felt. It's written in Psalms. You can read it. He wrestled hard with God. But then he would come to the place where he said, I will. Just for example, in Psalms 9, it says, I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. I will recount all of your wonderful deeds. I will be glad and exalt you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. See, David made a decision and went with it. He eliminated all other possibilities. After all of his wrestlings with God, he made a choice. He chose to love God versus himself. Our relationship with God needs to be actionable. It means we need to take action in our relationship with him. It's not I want to, or I should, or someday, but we need to choose. Some people say, well, I want to follow God. We need to be actionable. I choose to follow God with my whole heart. Psalms 119, verse 30 says, I have chosen the way of faithfulness. I have set your rules before me. Following God is a conscious choice. It's a choice to die to self and choose to follow God. You know, we have an enemy in this world. And when thoughts come, we think we have no choice. When thoughts come to our minds about what God thinks about us, about fear, about our worth, we think we have no choice but to listen to those thoughts. But they're from the enemy. They're not from God. And so I suggest to you that you pray your choices. Like in your fears, in your doubtings, in your wrestlings, pray to God your choices. Today I choose to believe what you said about me. God, today I'm going to walk. I'm going to choose to listen to what you say about salvation and when I gave my heart to the Lord. I choose to follow you. I choose. Pray your choices to the Lord, and he will honor your heart's desire. Maybe you're wrestling with forgiving. Maybe you're wrestling with your relationship with somebody else. Pray to God your choices. God, today I choose to forgive. Today I, whatever, you fill in the blank, would make a conscious choice and effort in your relationship with God in these areas where you're struggling. Because when we choose to love God more than ourselves, to walk in the light, we have access to all that the Holy Spirit can do in us and through us, and to the whole angelic world above us that we know, we don't know what's going on, how God's orchestrating things. We have access to all that God has for us when we choose him, when we choose to love God. I have three practical areas here I want to talk about. Three practical decisions that affect our life here and for eternity, and choices we make. Little decisions greatly affect our lives. I was in security line at the airport, and this random thought came to my mind. I told my wife, you know, if I jumped over that fence and jumped the security line, my life would never be the same. Did any of you ever think that? Like, I would be in handcuffs in a minute. My life would never be the same. Do you realize that little choices we make can change our life forever? Texting and driving is a huge thing. All of us here have probably done it, but all of us here have probably said it's a really dumb thing to do. Do you realize that that could drastically change your life in a moment. Texting and driving. What about drinking and driving? One beer, not going to affect me. Many people have said that. Their lives greatly changed. What about a little decision to maybe you went to Bible school and you met this girl who became your wife. What if you never went to Bible school? Do you think how different your life would be? Some of you went to Bible school and didn't get a girl or a guy. But little decisions affect who our friends are, who are where we'll live possibly, what job we have. It affects so much. Little choices we make affect so much of our lives. For the good or for the bad. The choices we make in our food greatly affect our bodies, right? If you eat junk food all the time, you know the result. The choice is pretty bad. If you don't like your job, you can change your job. You have a choice. You can make a choice and go a different direction. Today, Carl is celebrating 1,000 days of being free from smokeless tobacco. I believe the Lord worked in Carl's heart that he came to the point where he chose to love God more than himself. You know, it really boils down to, that's what our choices amount to. You think about it, the choices we make, when you boil it all down, is it about me or is it about God? We say we have no choice of how we respond, but I believe that's a lie. When someone gets mad at you, someone cuts you off and you respond, you have a choice. You have a choice how you're going to respond to that situation. I believe we need to do back up. As believers, we have the Spirit of the living God living within us. We have the power to choose what is right. And I believe in our responses to some of the things I'm going to talk about, God gives us the power and the strength to do above that which we can ever ask or think. I believe it comes with a renewing of our mind. Romans 12:2 says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good, acceptable, and perfect." Last night, I milked on the farm where I lived for most of my life, and I got a real experience on renewing my mind. They got a new skid loader. I've grew up on the skid loader with an H pattern, you know, forward and back, and the right controls the bucket, the left, you know what I mean, it's called the H pattern. Well, the skid loader they got had a different control pattern. It was a toggle pattern, and it threw me totally off. Like, I was raising the bucket and going sideways, and I was very dangerous for a few moments. I had to renew my mind. I had to renew the mind of which direction I was going. I had to consciously think rather than react as I naturally would have. And the faster it went, the worse I got. So you get the picture. I believe in some of these areas of choosings, we need to renew our mind. We need to renew our mind in thinking how we respond to life situations. I have three areas I want to focus on quickly here. The first one is what we focus on. We have a choice of what we focus on. I pray that God will renew our minds here this morning. I won't take time to read it, but in Philippians 4, it talks about let the communication that comes out of your mouth be pure, lovely, good report. Um, I believe what we focus on is what we will feel and what we will see. For example, if you get a flat tire and it ruins your day, your schedule, what do you focus on? I'm sorry, I got ahead of myself. Back to, if you think people don't care about you and you focus on that, you will find all day that people don't care about you. You will find reasons to believe that people don't care about you at all. Everything you experience that day will go through the minds of people don't care. Whether it's the person who cuts you off in traffic or the girl that gives you the wrong change, you're going to see, no one cares about me. Or people are out to get you. If that's what you focus on, if that's what you choose to believe, you will see life through those lens. Or that your parents are mean and the things they have set up are to be against you because they don't like you. Or that the church is full of hypocrites. If you focus on that, you'll see that. You'll see that people are hypocrites. But if you're looking for the good in people, you'll find that as well. So I ask you, so what are you focusing on? How are you allowing God to renew your minds of what you focus on? Are you looking for the good in people? Are you looking for what God has for you to look at, the way God sees things? Or are you looking at it through a selfish lens? The second thing is what things mean. Back to my other, I got ahead of myself. So your schedule gets changed. You're going on about your day, you get a flat tire, it changes your whole day. So what does that mean? Do you get upset? Or do you say, God, what do you have for me today? Or maybe he's sparing you from something. That in your mind, you interpret what that event means. Are you doing it from a selfish perspective, or are you doing it from a godly perspective? Say you're a small group leader. It only suits two families tonight. So how are you going to interpret that? Does that mean that no one cares? Or does it mean I get to care for these two people, these two families tonight? It's all about what things mean. The economy has a downturn. Your business is struggling. So what's that mean to you? I guess I'll just go broke. Or does it mean you have to get sharper, you have to get smarter, and you have to get leaner? What does it mean? How about when a friend snaps at you? What does it mean? Does it mean, I guess this relationship is over? I guess we're done. Or does it mean, well, they may have had a bad day. Maybe someone snapped at them. Or is an opportunity to care for them. What you choose to believe about that moment will determine a lot about that friendship. Here's a question I'd like to ask you. In those moments, do you respond as you did at the beginning of the relationship with them, the friendship? Or do you assign a new meaning to what just happened and says they don't care about me? See, if you treat them like you did at the beginning of the relationship, would there be an end in our relationships with people? How about marriages? In the beginning, you do anything for your spouse. Guys, you pamper your girlfriends and your wives. But now she does something you don't like. You assign a new meaning to that. She don't like me. I believe we assign a meaning to everything that happens in life. We filter through a lens, a selfish lens or a godly lens, if I can boil it down that far. I believe God wants to change and renew our minds on what things mean and look at them from a godly perspective, not a selfish perspective. The third thing is what we do. When X happens to us, what do we do? Do we want to quit? Do we want to try harder? Or do we turn to God? Try harder in our own strength, or do we turn to God? So in times of sickness, in times of death, in hard times, in good times, choices we make are so important to the outcome and the trajectory of our lives. We have a choice to love God or self. Sometimes we make choices because it costs us too much, and we choose for ourselves instead of choosing for God. How about when we're faced with a big decision? What do we do? Who do we go to for counsel? Do we go to God in prayer first as our first response? Or do we measure it on a scale of how much will this cost us? How much will it cost me? I believe so much of our lives is determined by our choices in these moments. Of when something happens to us, how we respond, the choices we make. And I think when you boil it all down to, it comes to, are we pleasing self or do we want to please God? Is it love of self or love for God? The last one this morning is our choice of what will you do with Jesus. I believe this is by far the most important decision any of you will ever make. It will determine heaven or hell. It will determine your eternal destiny of what will you do with Jesus. Yesterday, I wish you all could have been here at Stepping Up Men's. If I would have had time, I would have played the clip. It was a story about a man whose life was changed dramatically because he made a choice to follow the Lord. It was a story told by his son. Dennis Rainey was interviewing his son. And his father was in this from the South. He was a racist, a bigot. He hated blacks. He was a drunk. Fridays was about getting his paycheck and drinking the weekend away. And his mother was on her deathbed. Vernon, I think I'm telling this right. If not, the Lord have mercy on me. His mother was on his deathbed, her deathbed, and she just wouldn't die. Just lingered on. And one day, this son went into the room and said, "Mom, it's okay, you can go." She said, "No." She said, "None of my sons will follow on and carry on. Are believers. So who's going to carry on and pray for you guys?" It wasn't long after that he took his family to church. This son is telling the story. It's like so random. One morning he said, "We're going to church, family. I'm taking you to church." Took him to church. Long story short, he gave his life to the Lord. That night was the last night. Oh, on the way home, he said, "We're going home, we're going to pour all the alcohol out." And the son said, "Yeah, right, how long is this going to last?" And he went home, poured out all the alcohol. That was the last time he ever touched it. The home was totally different. It was a very rough part of, I forget what state it was, Vern, do you know? Arkansas? It was a very rough part of town because of the racism. He was not a preacher, but he started a community center, and many souls came to know the Lord because of this man. Because this man made a choice to follow the Lord. I won't read this either, but in Acts 16, the story of Paul and Silas in prison. Earthquake came, you know the story. But that day, a family's life was changed. Because one man chose to follow the Lord. James and Carr, if you'll come, This morning I'm going to give an invitation to choose the Lord today. The choice you will never regret. There's something about the Lord and His Holy Spirit. He will speak to your heart. He will nudge your heart. But He will never choose for you. He allows you to choose your own free will. To make a choice to follow Him. This morning we talked a lot about loving God or loving self. We looked at Scripture and how God's heart for calling His people to serve Him with their whole heart and not to follow other gods. So this morning I ask you, who are you serving? Are you serving God? Are you serving yourself? If you've never accepted the Lord as your Savior, never given your heart to the Lord, today is an opportunity to do that. I'm going to ask you to come forward, and we'd love to pray with you. If you want to rededicate your life to the Lord, maybe your choices haven't been God-honoring, and you want to rededicate your life to the Lord, you can come up as well, and we'll pray with you. This week, in the halls of the Rotunda, the Capitol building in Washington, this song was played in honor of Billy Graham. Just as I am, without one plea, that thy blood was shed for me. James and Carl are going to play and sing. And if you feel God tugging at your heart, why don't you come forward and we'll pray with you. Father, thank you for your faithfulness to us and speaking to our hearts today. Lord, bless each soul that's been here today. Continue to use and guide us, Lord, for your purposes, for your kingdom. And Lord, I pray that our choices would honor you, and that we would love you and follow you with all of our hearts. That would affect the choices we make. In Jesus' name, amen.